This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Lots going on. Standoff on PCH and Rancho Palos Verdes. Update on the land movement. Not a good one. The convention with the Obamas last night. Starting, though, with this barricade right on PCH. A closure for a couple hours now. The apps are still trying to take you there. Don't do that. There's a guy, a holdup in a van. There's cops all over the place. Let's bring in Susie Jessup.
Well, both directions of Pacific Coast Highway completely shut down between Heathercliff and Bush. Now, this is just south of Zuma Beach, south of Broad Beach. And what happened is it was a routine traffic stop after 1 a.m. this morning. And when they pulled this person over, this male suspect in a minivan, he attacked one of the deputies, one of the sheriff's deputies, with a fire extinguisher and then took off on a short pursuit of about a mile where he ended up here. Now, they have a SWAT team here, and we have all lanes blocked on Pacific Coast Highway between Bush and Heathercliff. That is wreaking havoc on your ride. If you're in Malibu and you're trying to get out, you're going to have to take a Decker, and that's going to get you around to the 101, but I'm getting a lot of people that need to get there, so they're taking the 101 basically. I'm telling people to take Westlake Boulevard to get down to Decker. But again, they're trying to bring this to a peaceful conclusion. The SWAT team is there. They have made contact with this person, and hopefully we'll wrap this up. But again, both directions, the Pacific Coast Highway through Point Doom, completely shut down.
This is one of those kind of vans with a pop-up roof on it. So he's been in there, and he's kind of trashed the van. We've watched some of this, thrown stuff out, and then he keeps popping up out to kind of look at the officers. And it looks like they were just bringing in one of those big armored trucks to make the U-turn and head towards him. So that might be what they're going to try and do and get him out of there. All right, Susie Jessup, we'll check back in with you now. Let's go to Chicago.
America, hope is making a comeback.
It was the Obamas, Michelle, kind of sealing the show. Tonight is former President Clinton in the spotlight on Tim Walz, the VP pick on the ticket. Let's get you the very latest.
CBS News special report of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago last night. Kamala Harris formally named presidential nominee with speeches by Barack Obama and Michelle Obama.
There were criticisms of Donald Trump, of course, but there were also a lot of compliments and building up of Kamala Harris. I think she called Kamala Harris among the most qualified people ever to run for the office of president and more than ready for this moment.
CBS's Tony DeCoppel at the DNC. Husband Doug Emhoff described what a president Kamala Harris would do.
She'll lead from the belief that wherever we come from, whatever we look like, we're strongest when we fight for what we believe in, not just against what we fear.
Up tonight, a pep talk from another former president. Here's political analyst Larry Sabato.
Bill Clinton and others will focus on the issues that will distinguish Kamala Harris from Donald Trump.
Harris delivers her speech tomorrow. CBS News special report. I'm Vicki Barker.
Trump has got another campaign stop in North Carolina today, gaining more attention in that state from both tickets. The CBS congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane, he's there.
This will be the first outdoor campaign rally since the attempt on Trump's life in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13th. It's in Asheboro, North Carolina. We're about 90 minutes outside of Charlotte. It'll be an event with Trump and his running mate, J.D. Vance, outside of a museum here. Multiple law enforcement officials tell CBS News the Secret Service has approved bulletproof glass around Trump's podium at this and future outdoor events.
So North Carolina for Trump today, then Arizona on Friday.
Hearing set for today in downtown Los Angeles. This is in Hunter Biden's federal tax case. The president's son accused of failing to pay more than $1.4 million in taxes. His trial is scheduled to begin next month. Hunter Biden facing 9 counts, including 3 felonies. He's accused of spending millions of dollars on an extravagant lifestyle rather than paying his taxes. Hunter has said has since paid his tax bill, though, plus fines that according to his lawyers.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com. For all your home loan needs.
Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs?
There's the childish nicknames, the crazy conspiracy theories, this weird obsession with crowd sizes.
The Obamas last night, while Kamala Harris was out campaigning in Milwaukee. We've been talking to each day reporter Pat Loeb, who's at the convention in Chicago, with us again. Pat, we were saying earlier, people are saying it's going to be hard for anybody to do better than Michelle did last night.
Yes, but you know, it's interesting. Michelle Obama was really, I have to say, the stronger speaker. I mean, Mr. Obama was very lofty. He was almost like he was giving a sermon. She really fired up the crowd and brought down the house. Both of them had some zingers, as you mentioned in your introduction. But she was the one who took really pointed aim at Donald Trump and also, you know, harkened back to that hope message that was so popular when President Obama ran in 2008.
Yeah, you know, I mean, while there is undoubtedly a whole lot of excitement at the DNC surrounding Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, that still needs to translate into votes in November. And speaking about Michelle Obama, you know, she really made that point last night saying this is going to be close. It's going to be a close vote, and telling everybody who was listening, vote in numbers that erase any doubt. What's the feeling you're hearing among the delegates there?
Well, the delegates here are super optimistic about this ticket. And one of the messages of Michelle Obama is they're not perfect. Let's not divide our own party. But really, the feeling in the convention center is so unified. I don't remember a convention like this in my lifetime where the Democrats have just been so all on the same page.
When you get people off to the side, I'm wondering, and you get a few minutes, are they still sort of astounded about the last, I don't know, 6 weeks? Because honestly, if we wind back the clock, some of these same people you're talking to were pretty terrified about the convention and how it was going to go. And now so much has changed.
Yeah, one month ago, they had to print up all new materials, all new signs, all new banners for this convention in 1 month, and it is dizzying. But I think the effort is part of what's created this really, really palpable energy at the convention.
To Margaret's point earlier about Michelle Obama saying, do something. You got to go out there and do something. What's the talk about Kamala Harris not being there last night but beaming in from Milwaukee? Because the Dems are sort of framing it as, look, we filled this arena and we filled that one too. Look what we can do. But peel it back a bit, and it kind of shows, okay, we remember 2016. We can't lose Wisconsin again.
Right. I think the campaign is going to make a very pointed attempt to get to all the battleground states, even the ones where they're that feel less welcoming. Not that Milwaukee in particular in the state of Wisconsin isn't welcoming. But they don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past, which is another part of the message that Michelle Obama gave the delegates.
All right, reporter Pat Loeb there. More convention talk coming up just a few minutes away. California could see a record number of cases of valley fever. It's really on a comeback this year. And then an amazing shark sighting off the coast to tell you about as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Yeah, but two people hospitalized this morning after a fire raced through a home. This is in West Toluca Lake. When fire crews got there around 2:30 this morning, they found two people already outside the house. They were awakened by the smoke alarm. They said that two others were trapped inside the home near Vinland and the 134 freeway. Now, crews were able to find them, pull them to safety. Captain Cody Wire-Eater says they also had several pets inside the house.
Out of all the challenges we normally face, another challenge that was added to this was the multiple animals we have on site. So not only was the human rescue a priority for us, but also the felines and also the canines that were here on scene of trying to pull them out.
Unfortunately, three cats died in the fire, but firefighters were able to resuscitate a dog that had been found unresponsive. The cause of the fire under investigation.
Massive endangered shark put on a show for boaters just a few miles off the coast here.
Those folks on board a Davies Locker whale watching boat when they saw something very rare.
Likely a 600-pound Mako shark less than 2 miles from the Newport Beach Harbor.
Jessica Rodriguez is with Davies Locker Whale Watching.
They watched it feed on the carcass of a swordfish about 10 feet from the boat.
As big and scary as they look, Mako sharks are rarely, rarely known to go after humans.
They're more interested in their food source, which is large tuna, big bony fish like the swordfish.
And they are rarely spotted above water, so this was a treat.
Emily Valdez with the story.
Valley fever cases hit a record high in the state last year. There were nearly 9,300 cases reported in California. That is about triple the number from a decade ago. Now, state health officials say that record will likely be broken again this year, and they blame the increase in cases of valley fever on climate change. Valley fever had been mostly limited to California's Central Valley, a lot of ag out there, as well as Arizona, where the fungus is endemic in soil and dirt. But since 2010, we've had drought, we've had wildfires, and those are believed to have been contributing to the geographic expansion of this fungus to Southern California, the Central Coast, the Sacramento Valley, and the Bay Area as well.
Inmate from Harupa Valley tried to escape a Riverside County Sheriff's deputy's custody. This was Monday morning near the Riverside University Health System Medical Center. Officer tried to get her out of the car, and then she bolted. She ran off. Deputy chased her through the parking lot, fired a round into the ground. Other deputies got called out. They found her, took her back into custody. No one was hurt. Officers on administrative leave while there's the investigation. Standard procedure when a weapon's fired.
Still no ceasefire deal in the Middle East. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is on his way back to Washington, D.C. Before he left, he called on Hamas to accept a bridging proposal for a truce.
Minister, how are you? Welcome to Doha. It's good to see you.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken meets Qatari Minister of State Mohammed bin Abdul Aziz Al Khulafi in Lusail Palace after his arrival in Doha on Tuesday evening. But on Wednesday, Blinken ended his ninth visit to the Middle East since the war in Gaza began without securing any major breakthrough for a ceasefire deal. He'd warned on Tuesday that time is of the essence, even as Hamas and Israel signal that challenges remain. Hamas has called the latest proposal presented to it as a reversal of what it agreed to previously and has accused the US of acquiescing to what it called new conditions from Israel. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
There's a new survey finds the out-of-network ATM fees increasing for the fourth consecutive year. It's a 19th record high.
Bankrate.com says the combined fees charged by the ATM owner and your own bank range from an average of $4.16 in Boston to $5.33 in Atlanta. Bankrate Chief Financial Analyst Greg McBride blames the increase in ATM fees on the decline in our use of cash.
That means the cost of maintaining those networks being amortized over fewer transactions. That's been a big contributor to the escalation in fees that's been so consistent over time.
About 61% of accounts have to pay combined fees when an ATM is used that isn't somehow linked to the account. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
20 minutes of nonstop news. Let's do a little more convention talk.
Somebody's got to step up to keep Donald Trump from being president.
So you're excited that it's not Joe Biden?
Yeah.
Somebody outside the big arena there in Chicago. Here's the thing. Happiness that it's not Joe Biden doesn't necessarily mean Harris has got anything locked up in November. The Democrats know that. So do the Never Trumpers. And there are some Republicans at this Democratic convention. We've told you that. Live from Chicago now, Jeff Timmer from the Lincoln Project. Jeff, thanks for being with us. So you've spent years and years doing strategy. How are the Democrats doing so far? Because, look, conventions are infomercials, but people seem to be at least enjoying this one.
They definitely do. I went to several Republican conventions, and I've never witnessed anything like this. I can't imagine Chicago's had this kind of electricity since the Cubs won the World Series. And so it's that kind. What's that kind of vibe? It's excitement. It's palpable. People are genuinely excited and optimistic and hopeful. And it really comes across in a very real sense to this former Republican.
Yeah, and, you know, talking about Republicans being there at the DNC, you had the mayor of Mesa, Arizona, John Giles. He was calling today's GOP the cult of Trump, saying we all need an adult in the White House. You had Trump's former White House press secretary there saying that he mocks his supporters behind closed doors, calling them basement dwellers. Given that it is such a close race, we do see polls with Harris gaining ground on Trump and even leading in some cases, all within a margin of error, though, right? So how big of a deal would you say it is to have these Republicans addressing the DNC and anybody who's tuning in?
I think it sets an incredible permission structure for moderate, sane, center-right Republicans all around the country to say, I can't vote for Donald Trump. We've known that about these people since 2016 and 2020. But can they complete the circuit and vote for a Democrat when their DNA says Republican? This time around, it definitely feels that way. And it really seems that Donald Trump's it's like a show that's been gone on the air too long. He's jumped the shark, and it seems to show in the ratings.
So having a permission structure, where does that work? Is it just in blue states, or is it in the swing states, too? I mean, has Kamala Harris opened up the map more than Joe Biden, or is she still playing by the same rules, and then it comes down to 10,000 votes here, 10,000 votes over there, and just hopefully you can squeak by?
Well, the playing field changed significantly a month ago when Joe Biden passed the torch to Harris. At that time, the Republicans were talking about going on offense in Virginia, in New Hampshire, in Minnesota, and New Mexico. That talk has ended, and it's Trump who's now on defense in Arizona, in Georgia, in North Carolina, and even in Florida. And so the candidate who's playing defense on Election Day is the one who's not going to win.
And let's talk a little bit about the idea of, you know, you're hearing a lot of joy and enthusiasm and hope coming from the Democrats, and it kind of feels like a doomsday thing coming from the GOP side, at least from the Trump perspective when he does get out there and he speaks. And I'd heard someone saying this, you know, every time the Americans are going to choose hope when you have those two options. I mean, what can the Republicans do at this point? What can Trump do at this point?
Yeah, well, Trump is in a cage that the Republicans built for themselves. So that age and long history is somehow a detriment in the campaign. Harris being generationally younger than Trump. I mean, Trump has felonies that are older than Kamala Harris. It sets up that stark difference where she now provides the hope and optimistic future vision, where his vision for the future seems dark, dystopian, scary, and based on fear. And you're right, Americans are going to choose the sunnier vision between the two candidates.
People do need to hear from her before the debate, though, right? Answering questions, because then it becomes the easy line. Look, she's hiding.
Well, I don't want to question their campaign strategy, because whatever they're doing has worked. And this is an unprecedented campaign, you know, kind of starting from scratch a month before the convention. I'm sure at some point we'll be hearing from Harris directly. We'll hear from her this week, tomorrow night. In fact, Thursday night, she'll deliver her acceptance speech. And then she and Tim Walz will hit the campaign trail. They did yesterday. They were in Milwaukee, 20,000 people filling the same arena that nominated Donald Trump last month. They heard directly from Kamala Harris, and I think we'll continue to do that through these next 75 days.